money I'm marrying you. It's not.
But
it's
if it's not because of my money, then sign it now.
That means you don't love me too.
But I'm not the one talking about prenups. You're the one talking about prenups. That means you don't love me. Oh, you don't believe in our love. I can't believe this. I'm going to start crying now.
Can I do the intro? Can I do the intro?
You want to do it? It's all you, bro. Take it away. Take it away.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the GHD podcast, Granite, Henny, and Gist. For those who don't know, Henny is Hennessy, so...
Let him know.
Henny is Hennessy. It's not a Yoruba person trying to pronounce A-N-Y.
Henny. Oh, wow. Nice.
So, yeah, you're welcome back. And today we have just like a delightful show. And I'm just going to let Paul take over from here.
That was a beautiful intro, Paul. Come on, guys. Come on. So we have my man Saint back in the building. Your episode was amazing. Like, everybody's in love with you, man. Like, everybody else wants your number after the last episode, you know. So we had to bring you back on to pimp you out. Really, that's why you're here. Because you are highly requested right now. You're trending in the GHD.
He looks like he's been harassed.
Have you been harassed? No.
No random people just jumping at you and saying, please.
Not in Abuja. Plus, I've been in law school, so it's not like anybody can find me.
I wouldn't call law school the safest premises from harassment, but okay.
Yeah.
That's ironic. That's very ironic. All right, we got Zeus in the building for this one.
What's up?
Today's topic is about prenups. We're going to be talking about prenups today. And all the amazing things prenups has to offer in today's marriage culture, right? An interesting study I read is prenups aren't really recognized in Nigeria. I'm still here to confirm that. It's not recognized in the law. I think religious texts take priority most times. It's like, what does your religion tell you you're supposed to do in terms of a divorce? I think that takes priority over any document. You know, I think that's the general theme across the country. You know, maybe in different regions it might, you know, have some disparity, but I think across board it's just like, no, you have to take care of me and these children you left. You understand?
I don't think it's as bad here as it is in the US, because that's why all these girls are just like popping condoms, because they just know that once they get pregnant, every court in the land is going to be like child support
till
18.
Child support.
That's the end of humanity.
Yeah.
Because when men decide that they don't want to impregnate women anymore, and that's a problem.
What about when men decide they don't want to take care of their babies? How about that?
What rubbish.
Nigeria is an interesting place, because if you get pregnant in Nigeria, it's a whole family ordeal. It's not something you deal with by yourself. Your mother is coming in. Your grandmother is coming in. You don't really want to face your father at that point in time. But it's a whole family ordeal. You're not alone when you go through it.
Yeah. You'll say, how can you do that to us? Not quite us. Because I'm going to be the only one pushing.
True. I remember African Man. No, Super Story. Who remembers Super Story?
Back in the day.
I remember when there was this one where... I think the grandmom, you know, just came with her bag, because she had chased the wife up back to her family people.
Was this famous mother-in-law? Please tell me, what was her name?
I think so. The woman came with the daughter, came with the bag, this is problem. We'll solve it together. It's a community thing. It's not the one-on-one thing. So I think it's a bit different here in Nigeria. But just quickly, who wants to tell us what a prenup is?
We have a certified lawyer.
But you're the fresh one. You're the one that's like
we need the legal description.
The law school curriculum does not have that.
Because prenuptial agreements, I guess, like, to the extent that there's not like a huge body of case law, because the people who have assets that require a prenup, they have good lawyers to take care of divorce. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's not 1 million naira, seamlessly. 2 million naira we're talking about. No. It's billions. Yeah, yeah, oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
So that's the first rule. If all you own is a Corolla and a house in Maitama, why are you bothering?
You can't afford a prenup.
But you can't ignore potential now. What if, yes, I own just a Corolla, but I believe in the next 1 year, I'll be a, you know,
I'll be a superstar.
Exactly. So, and I want that prenup signed.
Okay.
I
mean,
that brings in different questions, right? Because if you believe in your potential, mm-hmm. you're getting married to a woman, mm-hmm. right? Why are you not taking her along?
Okay, let's not get to that first. Let's define.
What is a prenup? What is a prenup and what does it typically cover?
So a prenup is actually just an agreement. The law does not stipulate what must go in there, what mustn't. So you and your partner go into an agreement that if this was ever to end, this is what's going to happen. And it can cover things like custody of the kids, splitting of assets, rights to alimony, rights to a breakdown of the financial, whatever, their bank accounts, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So it can cover everything. People even take prenups even further because prenups can govern not only the divorce, but the marriage. So you can choose that, you know, once every month, me and my husband, we're going to go for date night and leave the children at home and put it there in your prenuptial agreement. So all it is just an agreement you enter with your partner before marriage that governs the marriage and how the divorce and whatever could happen in that marital, you know, relationship. So yeah.
That is okay. So there's one thing I want to pick out from what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You said in the situation you guys get divorced.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So and that's really what I want us to talk about right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that pretty much setting yourself up for failure? Because I'm trying to understand why you're planning for failure with the love of your life, right? So I think I'm going to throw that out there saying, I'm going to come to you like, why are you planning to fail and having all these contingencies to fail when is to death do us part?
So the first thing there is intended design. I'm always going to come back to intended design. The intended design for marriage is till death do us part, right? So you're supposed to become one in everything. And so your finances, the way you think, how you spend your life, no separate living rooms or bedrooms, as it were.
I still think separate bedrooms, it's dependent. So it works for some couples, man.
Whoever works for you.
But everybody knows something bad could happen. And people try to prepare for that in the best way possible, which is the argument for prenups. But I'm of the opinion that if you're going in, you're going to go in completely. Right? Again, if we go back to, I don't know if we ever discussed it before, but definition of love, right? It's not a feeling. When you say love of your life, it's not because you're in love with this person or you have a desire for them. It's choosing every single day to put that person first. That's what love is.
That is this for a man and a woman? Because I want to believe we define it very differently. I honestly do. Like maybe from a man's perspective, I can understand that is, yes, I am putting this woman first, you know, above everything else. But is it the same for a woman, especially a woman who has kids and, you know, and that becomes the first thing in her life, you know, before you.
Which is wrong,
right? Because when the kids leave the house, is you and the guy. Because
you didn't swear any vows before God with those children.
So that kind of answers that, right?
Yeah, like you're swearing vows before God, doing like blood covenants, you know, entering into covenant before God with this man, and then suddenly you drop all those vows and use your kids as an excuse. It's BS.
Yeah, but it's natural, right? I don't think
it's not natural actually.
For women to love your kids over your husband,
it's not natural.
It is natural.
No. That's natural. I mean, that's a lie. It's not natural.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you had a kid and you didn't have?
No. But I haven't. But I'll explain something. Right? If it's natural, how do you explain the women that dump their babies in dumpsters? Because the idea of natural means that it needs no human intervention. It needs no human touching. It is natural.
As natural
as you sweating things, when you're hot.
All things being equal. Like, so up here, there's no traumatic.
Yes.
This woman is fine. There's no trauma.
Women who dump their kids, it's not because of the trauma. It's because they don't want to take care of those children. It's not every single person who dumps their kids because they got raped or whatever. Some women go through childbirth, are faced with the reality of what their lives are going to be now that this child's in the picture, and they dump their kids. I'm not talking about the ones that, let's even move from the ones that leave them in the dumpster, because that one is a bit like, why are you throwing your child in the dustbin? But let's talk about the women that drop their children off at the orphanage, that go in there and say, listen, I can't do this.
But don't you think somewhere that's still born out of love for that child? Like, look, if I genuinely know
that I can't
take, I can't take care of you, and that me trying to is just going to lead you down.
You're one of those, if you love something, let it go.
Let it go, my brother. Let it go.
Let it go.
Chapter 1 verse 1.
A more appropriate way to say that is, if you love something, give them the choice to choose you.
But the baby doesn't have the choice to choose at that point.
Babies have a certain level of dependency on you. They're not going to survive without you. Isn't it? We're going to go so far off topic.
Yeah. I saw it coming. We're babies now.
Thank you for bringing us back. Okay. So do you think prenups help the current state of marriages now, with people opting to stay single right now? Do you think a prenup actually helps in the current ecosystem
of marriage? I just think you guys need to stop. Stop it.
Stop marrying or prenup?
Stop marrying. Because you guys don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. And there's a very popular quote that says that where the use of something is unknown, abuse is inevitable. Mm-hmm. You guys think that marriage is something that you do when you fall in love. Who told you that?
Well, I don't believe marriage is something you do when you fall in love.
Who told them that? That marriage is something you do when you fall in love. Oh my God, I'm so in love with him. He's going to be my life partner. Our lives like just fit. And there's so many terrible variations I'm seeing. Who watches Love is Blind?
The show?
Yes.
On Netflix?
Yeah. That is marriage.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you give me some context?
The context is two people, regardless of all the circumstances that exist, choosing to commit to one another for life. All these things that we put as like prefixes before marriage. Oh, you must meet someone, you must court them, you must fall in love with them, you must be sexually attracted to them, you must be this, you must be that. All of that is human made, but human beings did not create marriage. Whenever you want to know the use of something, go to the manual. Marriage was created by God to somewhat exemplify his Trinity relationship and oneness while on earth. He wanted us to have a taste.
Don't you think you're just talking from a Christian angle?
It's not, because marriage is not...
Can you still say that about every other religion?
No. Marriage happened in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth and made man. He brought man.
That's what I'm saying.
Said,
you're still coming from a Christian religion. You're still coming from a Christian. Yeah, can you say that generally about every other religion? That's what I'm saying. Because
does science have teachings on marriage?
No, you're saying the construct was made by God.
If I may comment. So there's a misapplication of the Bible as a religious text, where in fact it's historical text, right? It's documents that are found and put together that write about history from the perspective of particular people, said to be the inspired word of God. That's where people now make it religious, when reality is historical. But if you wanted to set that aside and you wanted to look at the institution of marriage, what force, logically speaking, do you think compels a man and a woman to choose each other for their entire life?
It's love.
Honestly, I call it codependency. For me, that's what it is.
Oh my God. Yeah. You are just like...
The guy just look... Yeah,
you're the far left. You talk like Trump. No.
I feel like that's what...
No, that's what people have made it to be. And I was going somewhere, actually, what I was saying. First of all, you guys are getting into marriage, not having studied about marriage, not having... So, for instance, if you were going to become a doctor, you'd first go to primary school, learn your ABCs, your XYZs, your 1-2-3s. Then you would go to secondary school and learn about life generally, biology, geography, you know, all the technological solutions that exist. You learn about that. And then you get to university and then you like hone in on your actual focus. And then you get your degree and then you get to medical school, because people understand that once you're given that license, people's lives are at risk. It is the exact same thing with marriage. Marriage certificate is not a document. It's a license of a commitment that you've made to people. And some people do not understand that not all marriages end in divorce. Some marriages end in death. You could lose your life by the person that you choose to yoke yourself with. You could physically lose your life. I don't even want to reference her, but the woman that sang Ikweme, it's not because of the course she chose to study in school. It's not because she goes out late at night. It's not because of all the dangers that exist in the world. She chose to yoke herself to someone who murdered her. And you find that people don't understand the, what do I call it? More than the purpose, but how things are supposed to work in a marriage. There's not enough resources on that. There's not enough resources on healthy forms of attachment in a marriage. For example, what you've said, codependency is not an attribute of marriage.
No, it's not because
for you to be codependent on one person,
I was answering what drives people to marriage. I was
for you to be codependent
an
on another person, that person must be outside yourself. Marriage is oneness. There's nobody you're depending on. You guys become a unit. There's so much that happens by you saying those words. And you saying that it's marriage is not a Christian, you know, even the vows you take, mm-hmm. even the vows you take mm-hmm. to have and to hold, mm-hmm. to do this, to do that, to mm-hmm. do that, to do this, till death do us part. Uh-huh. That is a religion in itself. Let's leave Christianity aside. Because those are the kind of commitments and vows that you make to your Lord and Savior, whoever that is, if it's Buddha, if it's Allah. It's the same kind of commitments that you make, that till I die, I'm submitting my life to you. To have and to hold. And I'm trusting you with that.
And what's the penalty for breaking that vow?
I'm sorry, but is the vow compulsory? I don't think it's compulsory. I can actually do without saying that if I want to get married. I can actually tell the priest, don't put that in my vows, and he can take it out.
Even
I don't think it's constant. I don't think the stuff you say, you are compelled to have to say that shit. Oh. You can change whatever you want your vows to be at the end of the day.
To remove till death do us
part. Yeah, to take it out. Yeah, you can take it out if you want. I don't think it's compulsory.
So then it's not a marriage you guys are cohabiting.
Have you seen Gen Z marriage?
No, it's not marriage then. You're cohabiting. You're cohabiting. So your vows will read like this. We will love each other until it doesn't work anymore, and then we move out. Like, that's it.
But that isn't marriage.
No, it's not marriage.
That's exactly what's happening. I remember.
Because if it's loan, the reason, like, this whole thing is about prenup, right? So if we're saying, amending the vows and tweaking it makes it not marriage anymore, then technically divorce shouldn't be allowed. The moment we get married, we shouldn't be allowed to get divorced.
In the initial plan,
that's just what it is.
There is divorce, no divorce.
Yes, divorce was initially not allowed.
There's no divorce. And anybody who, especially within the Christian space, people like to refer to a part of Matthew where Jesus says, because of the hardness of your heart, divorce was allowed if your wife was adulterous. And that's referring to laws written during Moses' time. Like, the only time you could divorce your wife is if she was an adulterer, right? But that's not the initial plan. And you see that in the words, because of the hardness of your heart. Another translation would say, because you are so evil, right? You're so evil, you want to go away from God's plan and his intended design for marriage. It's supposed to be something beautiful between a man and a woman, right? You love this woman so much, you give yourself for her. She loves you so much that she submits to you.
Okay. So... Just quickly, I'm pretty sure there was a king in history that messed everything up.
His name was Henry.
Okay. Right. But let me not get into that. Let me not get into that, because I'm pretty sure divorce became like, I think that was like the domino that kind of
That's
what's supposed to happen. Yeah.
You know. But okay. But quickly, who do you think right now in 2023? Who do you think brings up the prenup conversation more? Is it the man or the woman?
I think whoever's richer.
Whoever has more to protect.
Whoever has more to lose.
Yeah.
Whoever has more to lose.
Yeah.
Right?
Technically.
Yeah. Like, imagine Mr. Easy bringing up a prenup to $10 daughter. She's like, let's sign it.
But I heard Easy just sold his company for like $1 billion or something.
Yeah, but $10 will use that one to clean his nyash. He loses billions of dollars in his sleep, and he's still with her, and he's still all that he has will go to his daughters. So at the end of the day.
Wait, he doesn't have a son?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So me and Paul had this conversation earlier. Daughters. And I told him that if he brings it up, I wouldn't look at it as being weird, because here's the thing about Africans. Anything could happen, and the Tetelo's daughter is not going to have any part of his fortune. I don't know. I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying, like, I've seen it happen in cases where a man is wealthy, his children are wealthy, and something happens down the line, and the women in the family don't get part of that wealth. It goes to the men. And then that's it. And then
maybe from your parts of Nigeria.
No, but it's everywhere. What are you talking about?
It is the culture.
It's the culture. Yes,
it's,
now
it's the Igbo culture. It's not culture. It's not applicable all around Nigeria.
You want to go to the north?
No. I can't speak for them. I can only speak for where I'm from.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it would. I'm saying it's possible if I were Mr. Easy. Like, I know it would sound absurd for him to bring it up, but if he brought it up, I'd actually look at it in a different light. But like, okay, you can't tell. Maybe he's seen something. And it's like, okay, you know, maybe, you know.
Yeah, so, Otedola doesn't seem like that kind of a guy. He's not a cultural guy, I don't think.
To answer your first question, that is inherently problematic, right? If you're in a space where you see even a morsel of success in your future and your first instinct or the advice you get from people in your life is to take this away from the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, that's selfish. That's straight up just selfish. There's no other word to describe it. Especially because the best... Slightly controversial, right? The idea of self-love is very, very against the very definition of love.
Oh, wow.
Because by definition, love is something you give to somebody else. It's not something you give to yourself.
So why does the Bible say to love as you love yourself?
It's a very interesting contradiction, right? It's telling you... because it doesn't tell you to love yourself. It tells you to love as if the person you're looking at was yourself. And they give the same instruction to husbands and wives. And the caveat at the bottom is, because no man would intentionally poison himself or hurt himself.
Except you're white.
What?
I don't mean.
What?
He does have a point.
Self-harm is prevalent.
Actually, yeah. Like, think about drug abuse. What other kind of abuse can you do to yourself? You know,
like they actually like cut them.
Cutting yourself and all of that. I don't know.
So this is, and it's not like I haven't been in a situation in which I had the prenup conversation, because I have. And the only reason I wanted a prenup was to exclude things that would give her unnecessary or undue liability, because of the nature of business. Right, if you deal in large amounts of credit, it's problematic if it doesn't go through for you. So I want that away from the woman I'm with. She's always going to, whether it's inherit or benefit from, but she should be protected from the liability, which is why I see prenups being something you can exercise judiciously.
But technically, if you as the husband, you collected money from a loan shark and died, right? The loan shark, like, even if you obviously you don't want your wife to inherit your debt, but isn't that kind of how it works?
If she's your next of kin,
if you have to,
but you can choose to put your mom there, since you guys like to put your moms everywhere, she could be your next of kin as well.
Nice.
And inherit your debt.
Speaking of moms, the Hakimi story.
We're not sure if it's real or fake, but y'all know
what happened to Hakimi, the football player.
Yeah,
the 24-year-old football player that got bamboozled by this 36-year-old baddie.
Yeah, because she's older. Yeah.
Yes, and she knows how to manipulate young boys. I'm gonna tell you Samson. Right now. I know Samson, the Samson conversation. She knows what you're telling me. A 36-year-old man that looks like that doesn't know exactly what a 24-year-old boy wants and how to make him give her that ring. Come on. That girl was taking advantage of.
She
married
him, went through childbirth twice, all of that just to get some of his money.
Not some.
All.
Half. Of that's a lot of money.
Half.
That is $50 million a year.
The childbirth.
A lot of money.
Means so much less now. Especially if you look at like the Drake situation, where the girl, he put hot sauce in the condom and she was trying to get pregnant by Drake so she could get money from Drake. Like the value of
having a baby, it's
and childbirth.
It's harder to start a company. I'd rather have a baby than start a company. Now,
just a means to an end, which is basically like people said. The moment they started monetizing, you know, marriage to a certain degree, that's why you know everything took a turn for the worse. Because now, you know how you said it before. Now, publicly, you know, the woman submits, the man gives up, you know, does everything for the woman and all of that. And then all of a sudden something happens and then she is hard of heart, like you said, right? And it's like, oh, you know, she's falling away from God's ways. She's bad and I want to leave. And then the country comes and be like, yeah, you can leave, but you have to give her half your shit. She's like, I just told you someone is evil.
No, Your Honor, she's evil. She's evil, Your Honor. I can't explain it.
You understand? So, yes. And then next thing, it's like, look, as long as you give people a choice, human beings a choice, they would make different decisions. No, people are not going to make the same decisions. Because you said, you know how God is like, oh, you guys, people are not going to make the same decisions.
And so that's why I've always said this, and I always say it. If you can put people through a school before you give them a driver's license, you lot need to stop giving marriage licenses to every Tom, Dick, and Harry.
So what should now be the criteria for them giving you?
So I don't understand the government. I don't understand a government that's so involved with women's lives that they are seizing abortion pills and abortion techniques. But once it comes to the issue of the government actually regulating marriage, oh my God, we don't want to intrude in people's home affairs, but you're in my vagina. but you're in my vagina.
So there's
and,
two things.
And you're comparing the damage that abortion has done to society to the damage that the family unit being broken down and turned to rubbish has done to the society.
It's incomparable. You really? Can't, it's crazy. Because what are you raising? What are you raising? Because if it's just for military, if it's purely birth rate, it's like, okay, we need to pump out more people. Because the way the banks look at it, everybody between the ages of 18 to 65, at least you're going to have $1 million across your account, mm-hmm. right? So that's kind of what they're looking at you. They're not looking at you as, you know, you're just a number. Yeah, it's like, yeah, this is, if you work, if we get if you to 18, whether you're broken, traumatized from a broken home, it doesn't matter. If we get you from to 18, right, we put you in the workforce. And you work to your 65. This is how much you're going to generate,
oh
right? Yeah. This is
exactly. Are we gonna are we gonna talk about like how the like how this is not real life? This can't be real
statistics.
Life.
It's all numbers. That's what it is. It's all numbers.
I don't think my parents intended to bring me to a world that's like this.
You need the population to grow. You understand?
Well, not specifically, right?
See, Canada.
The abortion thing happens too because over the past, I don't know if it's 60 years. You've had like tens and tens of millions of babies aborted. And that's legally, not counting the legal number. So they're trying to stop all of that happening. Now, that at least that should be the face of it, preserving human life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But human life is in danger when it comes to those marriage certificates you're handing out. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about the 1 in 8 women that are prone to domestic violence in the home. Nobody talks about that. You just give these wife beaters with prior records, marriage licenses, but they can't work for you. They can't work in your establishment, but they can get married. They can't work in your establishment with a prior conviction, but you can get married with a prior conviction.
Yeah, because that's both parties agreeing, right? It's both parties agreeing. Like, are you under duress? It's like, you know...
For abortion too, both parties agree. I know that many men give their girlfriends money to go and get the baby aborted.
But those aren't the parties involved in the abortion.
Like, who are the parties involved?
There's an exclusionary principle when it comes to abortion that's pushed currently, such that even though men can think rationally, they're not involved in the decision.
That's based on the presumption that marriage only affects the two people involved in it. What about their kids? What about the community at large?
And we've gone off topic, right? Well, the two people involved in abortion are the mother and the child. And if only the mother gives her voice and you can't hear what the child says unless it's born alive, develops the necessary faculties to speak and then give his opinion, it's never going to be an agreement.
Okay, me, I've been born now and I have the faculty to speak. And I can honestly say...
that you wish your mom aborted you.
No, not aborted. I can honestly say that there are people in my life that should not have been given the license to be married. Because their getting married has caused me, an innocent third party, trauma that I'm currently spending 15,000 naira per session to fix.
I'm dead.
I should be able to bring a proper legal case against my parents and say that because of your irresponsibility in obtaining a marriage license when you did not have the qualifications to be selfless and to love somebody outside yourself caused me harm as well.
It's marriage.
It boils down to the fact that prenup will not even be a conversation if people really understood what they were getting into before they got in there.
100%. That is a very strong point.
I believe prenup wouldn't be an issue if you stop making women leave marriages. That's just it.
Okay. So another side.
You wouldn't be in a hurry to get married when you know you really can't leave. Because people are just going into it now because you know you can leave. If you knew that you couldn't leave this marriage, I shit you not, women wouldn't be in a hurry to get married.
The issue is not the end result. The issue is the fact that they don't even know what a marriage is. Many people, you're talking about this thing from the Hakimi perspective.
Hakimi, no.
Bisola in the village does not even know about alimony. She just knows that she's falling in love with a guy and she wants to marry him because she's of age.
She might not know before she gets married, but when she gets married, the guy is wealthy.
Bisola should be informed.
If the guy is wealthy, he will bring Bisola from that her status to his status.
You're missing
and
my
she
point
could
completely.
Learn
you're missing
and
my
eventually
completely.
Be influenced
you're missing my
by
point
people.
Completely.
See, look, the fact
I'm saying that the purpose that women use to go into marriage is not money.
Can I get each of you to talk one at a time?
No, you're making it sound like all women are getting married because they know that there's a way out, because they know that there's money. Some women are getting married because they love this man, but they do not understand what marriage costs, what it requires, the amount of work that should be put in to make that marriage sustain itself. Therefore, those two people get into a marriage, it breaks down irretrievably, using legal terms, because they don't know how to live with each other. They don't know what it means to be married to one another. They don't know what it means to forgive. They don't know what it means to be kind, to take no record of wrong, to not be boastful. They don't know all of those things that are required in a marriage. Then the marriage breaks down. And the issue is not because there's a way out. The issue is because you didn't even know that you did not possess the... It's just like signing up for a job and saying that you were good at Microsoft Excel. Then you get in there and you're dropping the ball. The issue is not that you're going to get sacked. The issue is that you shouldn't have applied for that job in the first place. You should know your skills and say, listen, this is like way outside. But when you're going in, not even knowing what is required of you, then whether or not you went in with the best intentions or the worst intentions, as in this case, it's going to break down.
Yeah, then we should as well, since that's the problem, then we should change laws on fornication and the rest now. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that drive people to marriage. You're making it seem like, oh, it's all numbers and facts. People get married because they love each other. If I'm very religious and I want to be intimate with somebody I love, and I know that the only way I can do that is to get married, I get married. So if you're saying they should change marriage, this and then, there's a shitload that needs to be changed about religious vows and beliefs.
The marriage,
yeah, exactly.
The marriage act should be more than just talking about people's domiciles, citizenships, and how marriages can break down. The marriage act should be talking about certain things that you need to meet. The whole issue of people even being of age before they get married is because of the issue of consent, right? Now, there's a huge area of data where people are consenting to what they don't know. And that 100%. Actually, yeah, lawyers are making bastard money.
Yeah.
Because the company's privacy.
Terms and conditions.
Not even that. Imagine a case where the privacy policy is, the privacy policy of the company and the data policy of the company is written in a way that's ambiguous and people don't even know what they're signing up to. A court can say, what the hell is this? Why would you draft it this way? And you're liable. Because they have not given consent. It's not informed consent. So why doesn't that apply to marriage?
Okay, so all you've said, just give us like a few pointers as to qualities people should have before they can be given this marriage license that you're talking about.
Let's see what are those things that they would need to say,
have you done this? Let's know what it is.
Because you have marriage classes. No, I have enough time.
Let's keep it to freedom.
Let me interject. So I believe, you know, that's why there's some sort of... There's for women back in the day, because I made this comparison between how things were in the past, right, and how things are now, right? You know, when you have to court, when you want to court a woman, you go to her family,
yeah,
right? You present your intentions before you can even talk to the girl.
Yeah, because if they catch you in the bush, you go. My father is cutting off both your legs.
And when you follow that route, 2-3 weeks. They are setting dates. It's just finished. Okay, you want to marry my daughter? You look like a responsible guy. Okay, I know Allah. I talk to her now. If she likes you, we can do this, right? Within 3 weeks, you're married, right? Because you've checked all the boxes the family needs. Oh, okay, he has a business. He's well to do. He seems responsible. All right, fine. Does my daughter like you, right? As opposed to now, the family has been removed completely from the process. It's like
they know if they're by the end.
Yeah, it's like, go and bring this man. You know, like, go out there into the world. And make the most important or one of the most important decisions that's going to affect
everything. Every strata of your life.
He's like, yo, just go find this person and just carry him back. You know, I will give you our support.
You know the most painful thing there? That decision is being left to the youngest person in the equation. They have the least amount of experience as far as the world goes. And they have to make that decision. It's painful.
It's wild. And we're wondering why things are breaking down and things are failing. Yeah. And there is a marriage class. Mm-hmm. There is a marriage class. But
there's licensed marriage counselors. There's people who are into like marriage preparation. There's books on the topic that I think you should read a minimum of 12 before you even consider it. Because you need to know the reality of what you're doing.
It is that important.
Except you're actually going in with ill intentions. You're going with a game plan already. Like, I'm going to marry this guy. He's 72. I know his life expectancy is another 2-3 years. I'm going to make sure that he signs everything over to me in his will. Except you're married for that purpose.
It's nice. You don't even have to be 72. You can even be 30, 40s, and they're still going with the game plan.
That's
a long time to act. That's a long time to keep
on character. All I have to do is get so men will slip up. Look, the fact that you say.
You know, here's an interesting thing, right? The first people they usually look to in the murder of a married person is the spouse, whether it's a man or woman. Mm-hmm. Of course, on TV, it's always dramatic. So it's the man killing the woman. Which is funny because culturally, sitting at a table, we're all Nigerians, so we know the number one reason why a man dies in a marriage is because the woman poisoned him at some point.
Of course not.
Culturally.
He slept with my sister? Hey! African magic has scattered. See, I don't know.
By the way, let me put you guys on. Once you put in the poison, don't taste it.
Oh my my god.
Don't taste it.
Guys, wait, what to do what?
Haven't you seen those videos where they mix in the poison? You're like,
oh my god. It's reflex. Okay.
The first time I saw that today, I didn't believe she was poisoning him. Like, I was not poison. Like, I concluded that it wasn't poison. Like, because the way she's trying to poison him was like, oh no, it's probably some drug to maybe make him sleep. And then he died. I was amazed. I was like, what the
hell? Traumatized.
No.
Okay. So
now men are in the kitchen, not because they want to help their wives. They just want to keep eyes on things.
Keep eyes on you. Especially when they know they've done something. Okay, guys. So does it mean you don't trust your partner when you initiate that prenup conversation? Is that what that means? Because, you know, I've heard what everyone is saying, but you know, love conquers all, no? Abi?
Yeah, and it covers a multitude of sins.
You understand? Let's stick with the Hollywood story. You understand? Love conquers all. What are you talking about?
Love wins.
Don't you love me? Why do you want me to sign this prenup? Don't you love me? Let's do this thing.
It's 10 out of 10.
And 3 years later, I'm divorcing you and asking for half of your property. But that's the thing. At that moment where the hormones and all the chemicals in your brain are telling you that, no, this woman or this man, no. Till death. Nobody else. Right? And you overlook. Then it's not like the mom of the guy that would actually step in. Going back to the Hakimi story and say, I know you're in love. I know. Like, I really know. But I know how many times I've wanted to leave your father. You understand? But I didn't because I'm a good woman. I don't know if this baby brought back has the same kind of endurance, right? You understand? So it's mostly the mother, yeah. Which is why they say the wives hate their mom-in-laws, right?
Yeah, because they're the ones that would... Please, let me just speak to mother-in-laws for a second here, okay? You were a baby girl too once, to get me? And you know that if they had pulled your husband to be aside and they started talking about him, you know that this woman, I can't trust her, this woman, I can't trust her. You know what you'd have done. But you are wicked of heart, so wicked a person.
Is your son?
I don't really call you.
Is your son? This your son?
Really call you wickedness. But you didn't keep the same energy for your husband.
I don't really call it wickedness. Look, it's just experience. Like,
it's wickedness.
History today because of what happened in the past.
Sowing seeds of discord.
You see all this? You see this divorce and, you know, this... seed of discord.
Accuser of brethren doing the devil's work. Evil.
Personally, I feel prenup should be made legal and compulsory. It should. But like she said, the contents should be agreed upon by both of you. But you people should definitely have one.
No.
The only reason you should have a prenup is to actually talk about what's going to go on in the marriage. Once your prenup starts having divorce clauses, don't marry.
Don't marry.
People have used this prenup idea for divorce so much that it's hard to actually think of a prenuptial agreement that doesn't have anything to do with divorce. There are many prenuptial agreements that have nothing to do with divorce. They just want to actually enter into agreement on how certain things will work in their family.
The government, they already has one prepared for everybody if you just request for it.
The Nigerian government?
No, like, I think the US. You don't even have to get a lawyer. There's one already drafted for you.
Like a template, you can just add on to it.
Yeah, you just go inside.
That is wild. That is freaking wild.
Like me, I know what I want in a prenuptial agreement. I want, you know, sex at least 4 to 5 times a week. I want to be baby girl, foot massages.
Remember what I said earlier?
I want...
Sheldon.
Ah.
Sheldon and Amy, the Big Bang Theory. So Sheldon has in their relationship agreement that they can only have sex, I believe, once... which is on birthdays.
What?
And then that's it. And Amy was going strong.
Sure. I trust this.
She's going strong.
I'm not signing that.
I don't think that works.
On birthdays.
On birthdays.
You took that Jeremy song too seriously.
Okay. So it doesn't, it wouldn't necessarily mean I don't trust you. Because I feel that's the message.
No, it means you don't trust me. Yeah,
right?
It means you don't trust me.
The moment you bring up that conversation, it means you don't trust me.
Yeah.
So do you agree?
You got to remember,
you don't trust me or you don't love me. Which is it?
No.
Love now. It's love that
you
lose.
You don't love me?
No. If you're making me
sign a contract. You think I'm marrying because of your money? Is it because of your money I'm marrying you? It's not.
But if it's not because of my money, then sign it now.
That means you don't love me too.
But I'm not the one talking about prenups. You're the one talking about prenups. That means you don't love me. You don't believe in our love. I can't believe this. I'm going to start crying now. No, seriously. It's just a weird... Even bringing it up, it's just weird.
Yeah.
I don't know why do men pussy out and they bring up this conversation 3 days to the marriage.
Yeah.
It's like, so, you know, my mom keeps, you know, bugging me.
There's a popular story of a US basketballer that sent a prenup to his bride-to-be 2 weeks before the marriage, reminded her 3 days before the marriage, another 2 days before the marriage, the day of the marriage. The day of the marriage, he just didn't show up. He just went out with his boys to drink.
Oh,
yeah. Because she didn't sign. Can you remember that story? Yeah, because she didn't sign the prenup. Like, you just stop getting married, please. We need more single people. We need to form a
group. I mean, if you look at that story, I mean, it worked out perfectly. Like, the fact that it did what it was meant to do.
Yeah, Those two people were never meant to be married. So never meant to be married.
Here's the thing. A prenup is an excuse for conversations you should already be having.
You should already be having.
Right? People aren't talking. I mean, right now, a lot of people spend their time using their mouth.
That needs to be a podcast episode. What should you be concerned about at the talking stage?
Yeah, definitely. Because if you the girl is supposed to be married. Well, that's not happening anymore, right? Some of the things we talked about was whether or not we're going to have a dog. Because I'm a dog person.
You guys had conversations up to dogs?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Paul? Favorite color?
I just prefer to be in the moment, you know?
I really love the way the skies are looking tonight. That's what you guys are talking about.
So we've had serious conversations. Because at that point we've had conversations about what country we're going to live in, right? What's the next 5 years looking like in terms of work? Where do we want to worship? Are we going to have a dog? How many children do we want to have? Are they in the first 2 years? One of the conversations, a very difficult conversation to have, is what happens after the children are born, because we want to take care of our children. Who's going to stay at home? These are conversations we've had before getting married.
Before proposing, which is it?
After proposing,
okay,
we have these conversations.
After you propose.
Yeah. Okay. A very important conversation actually has to deal with the matter of inheritance, especially inside Nigeria. If you're a firstborn son, you're going to be taking most of the weight of whatever your parents' legacy is. Because the second child, the third child, fourth child, up to seven, they can run away and do whatever they want. You as the first child, whatever your father did, whatever your mother did, you're taking care of that. And then you're taking care of everybody that came after you, whether you like it or not, right? So it's a question of my parents' legacy. That's not going into the marriage. That's my parents' legacy. It's there to take care of, yes, our family, but also my brother's family, my sister's family, and so on and so forth. Like, if my dad's brothers and sisters have anything they need to do, the family, that legacy is going to feed them too, because that's their family too. These are conversations you need to have. A prenup is like, I don't want to have this conversation with you. Just agree to what I'm saying.
There's no actual conversation. You guys don't talk it through. Like, you don't talk it through the thought process. It's like the reason why I just want to give you 20%.
I'm so sorry. Not to even butt in, but sometimes they do. They have the conversation, they just reduce it into writing. Like, you've agreed to do all of this, but I still don't trust your ass. So I need to get you signed. I need to get you signed.
Answer his question, though. Is a prenup,
you don't trust. Yeah.
A prenup is saying I don't trust you.
Yeah. Prenup says, I'm so sorry, speaking from a woman's perspective, if you're telling me to leave my father's name, come and, you know, support you with your vision and be like your neck and be your ride or die and do all of this, and
I'll
then
bear my kids.
I'm gonna do all of this, and then you're putting a ring on my finger, and then the next thing you're saying is, so listen, you know, if this ever, like, you know, I need to make sure that I have you, I need to make sure I have something with your signature on it, you know, that's giving you don't trust me.
But again, that goes to the flip side, right? Where the only reason I would want a prenup is if it protects my spouse in some way.
Please write it in your will.
No. I'm going back to the whole debt and liability thing.
Write it in your will.
Because I would
make somebody
spouse
else your next of kin. Write it in your will. Let's talk about this. Prenuptial agreement is not for the exemption of debts and liabilities.
Once you get married, you don't get a choice in who your next of kin is.
Oh, yes, you do.
You don't.
Yes, you do. Except you don't leave a will.
Your power of attorney defaults to your wife.
No. Yeah, it does. But if you write it in your will that you want something differently, your will is your statement of death. Well, once you die, everything with regards to your properties, your assets, your liabilities, is all dictated by your will. It's when you don't have a will that the law just defaults it to your wife.
And that speaks of death. But debt can be claimed while you're living, right? So if you have a Fortune 500 company and it goes under, and you've separated that part of the assets from your wife's assets completely, right? So she, whatever she's working for, because she will work at some point.
So make me understand this. So you want her to be a beneficiary of the Fortune 500 company.
Yeah.
But when the company gets under or goes under, you don't want her to bear the brunt of that as well.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, if you have...
It's given... No.
No, no, no. If you have dependents, honey, right? They can't go after your dependents. It is. Yeah. You, like you can work it out to your benefit.
So I'm going to watch my husband go under by himself.
There's a loan shark discussion. There's a loan shark meeting.
Loan sharks won't adhere to your prenup. Trust me.
It's not a quote. It's something I made up.
They won't adhere to your prenup. They'll just kidnap your kids.
So there's two sides.
What kind of loan sharks are you dealing with? The mafia?
So there's two sides. There's two sides of a coin when it comes to law. The first side is ignorance isn't an excuse. Just because you don't know the law doesn't mean it doesn't cover you it won't punish
you're not bound by
you.
It.
But the other side is, if you have knowledge of the law, it shouldn't be to your detriment, which is how like tax evasion and the other one goes. Mm-hmm. So if you know what you're doing, you understand the law, you should be able to use it to your benefit. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. That's just it. So there's an element of a prenup that said, I definitely don't trust you. Right? But there's a way you can use it in which it protects the other person, especially from if you know you have like bad habits.
I don't agree. I don't agree. When you're taking out the loan, just write it there. Who is your next of kin in case you cannot pay back? Just write your money.
Wait, but that's a guarantor.
That's a guarantor.
The banks are not going to like offset all of that and then come and start chasing you personally after you've already put a guarantor in place for the debt.
Okay.
You already have the collateral for the debt.
I'm gonna come to you. Guarantor comes once your estate has been exhausted, right?
It's after your estate has been exhausted.
And if you're in community,
there's a way around that, right? Mm-hmm. You understand? Your wife can have a separate account with a maiden name that's not associated to you. In which case, if they were coming to foreclose, right? That's the word they use when they loan. If they're coming to foreclose, they can't touch her maiden name estate just because she's living in the same house with you and she has your kids.
I will need to check sources on this, but in a community of property system, no matter what nomenclature falls under, if it's part of your estate before you enter the marriage, it forms part of the joint estate inside the marriage.
No. So that's not how it works, actually. Many people actually separate their estates using their maiden names. There's many, many women who have done this and the law recognizes it, right? Because the law understands what you've explained, which is that sometimes you're going to go into a marriage with assets that do not belong to you. They are shared assets that you have with your sister and your other sister and your other sister, and all of them are signatory to the accounts. Mm-hmm. No loan shark can now come to your family's account and start removing monies because your husband is owing you. That's illegal.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
That's illegal. So they have to chase the assets. You don't have to join them into the... You can create a bank account for your marriage.
True.
Right? Which will now act as the joint assets for which anyone can now come and recover, you know, against the both of you.
But not a separate account for the family. This depends on what kind of loan shark. If it's the kind of loan shark we see in the movies.
My job is to recover money.
That's what I don't understand. All these English people are speaking. Your husband.
So, this is bank loans. They're talking about bank loans.
This is the wild, wild west.
Why are you taking loan from? Please take your loans from a reputable institution.
Don't be a bossy in your head. You don't see the guy running in the way. No. Okay, so, but Pearl, I was going to ask, right? Okay, because you said immediately you're going to have, you don't trust me vibes if a guy asks you for a prenup. Let me flip the scenario. If the woman was the one with all this wealth, you now ask the guy to sign this prenup, right? Does that mean you don't trust the guy?
That means you don't trust the guy.
That's exactly what it means.
Think about contingency agreements, right? Agreements that are pessimist in nature. Agreements that say, okay, if things go wrong, this is what's going to happen, right? They go on between, for example, people who take loans, right? people who don't have any previous relationship, so they need something to hold on to in case things go wrong, because they don't trust you, they don't trust your motives, and you don't owe them anything. You don't owe them loyalty or duty. So they put in these provisions in those agreements so that if anything goes wrong, they can have something to fall on.
Okay.
That's what a prenuptial agreement in that nature is.
So you're saying, part is just an excuse for I don't trust you.
You're saying I need something. You guys can have that conversation, like Said said, and you can take your lover's word for it. This is all you're going to have children
with.
You can take their word for it. And listen, if anything happens and anything goes wrong, I don't want my family's property to be part of the family estate. Okay, babe, that's fine. You guys kiss on it or pinky swear, whatever you and your partner, whatever you guys do, you get married. When things go wrong, you can trust them for their word. Because if you're not even marrying a person that has integrity, what are you doing?
Okay, so, all right, fair enough. Her sentence, by the way, is the contingent, right? When, which is interesting because you said
when,
you
didn't even say not if.
No, 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 it's
you
when.
Said when.
It's when. That's why you're writing a prenuptial agreement, because you're seeing, you're foreseeing that a divorce is inevitable. You're just thinking at this person, you're thinking things will go wrong, don't worry.
So now we're going to get into a conversation about the standards of the people you marry. that's now, where it gets into.
But isn't the whole, because what
women,
I'm hearing.
Women, as a gender, you guys marry anybody that proposes. Anybody. Anybody.
There's power in bending the knee.
As in anybody.
Bending the knee.
Especially at a certain age. That's when it's like man to man. Anybody.
There's a statement about how men marry who they want to, because they're the ones usually initiating the transaction. Women marry from who they choose from who proposes to them. So they don't really go out and approach like 1,000 men and then.
Or even if you
exactly.
did,
which
even
is why, which is why they
about,
should sign that prenup.
Let's talk about the realities of this,
that's exactly
right? Because
why
even
they
if
sign
you did,
the prenup.
And you did approach
a choose.
You did approach a guy. So I meet a guy in church, and he's ticking all of my boxes. He's tall, he's dark, he's handsome, he fears God, he's a true worshipper, he's led by God, hears from God, he's rich, you know, he has a good family, respectable, he has honor to his name, a good reputation in society, he cares about children, he ticks all of these boxes, yeah? What if he doesn't want to marry me? What am I going to do?
Make yourself marriable.
You don't make yourself marriable to someone that doesn't want you.
Okay. There's a... So, guys are not very complicated as far as women go. They're just not. And every guy on this table will attest to
that. I will complete one of the most simple creatures on this planet.
They're
I
not,
am
not that
I think they're animals that are more complicated.
Yes. I agree with the simple bit because Samson...
Oh my God! I swear.
People are simple.
And just to clarify, I don't mean that in terms of intellect.
Oh, I meant that in terms of intellect. I'm so sorry. You lost me now.
The clarification was necessary. It's not in terms of intellect, right? A man can see a beautiful woman, and if she lacks character, if she lacks the elements that allow him to trust her with his seed, it's not going towards marriage, because that's the truth, right?
So Cardi B has character.
I don't know what's going on as far as celebrity marriages go.
So actually,
It's not only celebrity marriages. My friend that went to University of Benin, one babe that used to walk around with cultists and all of that, she was the first to marry out of all of them. It's not about how you portray yourself, or that's not what attracts a mate to you. Because like you said, men are very simple. For some guys, not just because hanging out big, I just want to be waking up to that till I die.
But
for some
that's,
guys,
that's the simplicity
I've gotten my...
we're talking about.
Yeah. So if I don't have Nyash, what am I going to do? Because you're the man I want. So what am I going
to
do?
But do you have to want that particular man? Can't you
Thank
want
you.
Someone
so,
else?
So it now boils back to the point that women marry who propose.
Which is why they should sign the prenup.
Why? Why? Just don't marry. Just don't settle
because
for what you don't want.
Oh my God. Because you're settling.
That's why you should sign it.
Just don't settle. Like the fundamental burden that young girls carry from the age of 22. Let me set you free today. Marriage is not compulsory. Most of these people that are saying that marriage are compulsory, they're just broke. I swear to God, if you could live in a country, a different country, every single year, you could afford it. There's other things to life that can give you just as much fulfulment, just as much passion, just as much.
But if you do that for 15 years, right, and you're in your early 40s at that point, you know, and you look around and, you know, your girlfriends who would typically follow you on these trips, you know, are now giving you the excuse like, oh yeah, my son is graduating, so I can't make my son's graduating. It's not as easy as my husband is.
See, there's one woman that I love. I was reading her story. Yeah, she got married. She got married at she got married at 72. And they asked her like, why? Were you never like pressured by society? Were you never? And she was like, I felt all the pressures of society. Look at Diana Ross's daughter. Are you telling me that woman is unhappy? Are you honestly telling me that woman is unhappy?
What about childbirth?
And it's not because they're children to be adopted.
No. If every woman had this mentality,
come from you for you to love.
If every woman had the same mentality, then which child would be there to adopt? I'm just saying, like, look, women have to give birth.
For as long as there's pornography, there's going to be children to adopt. Don't worry about it. For as long as there's pornography, for as long as the shitty doctors that are up genes, that one in three women are dying on the childbirth table, there will always be children. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so see the thing about women, yeah? For men, and, you know, I've seen this a couple of times, for men, your purpose in life is about creating something. That's how it is for men. And then for women, correct me if I'm wrong, it's about nurturing something. You understand? Yeah, you get. So I'm just saying, as a woman, if you're not planning towards, you know, nurturing something, giving birth,
you nurture a business.
Yeah.
Thank you. There's so many things to nurture. You can nurture your passions. You can nurture your dreams until you bring them to accomplishment. Until you see the things that you slept thinking, oh my God. Do you know?
And the women that don't have that.
I don't know when women
understand.
I'm speaking as a woman because I was talking to my therapist and I told her, I said, I don't know when I stopped dreaming.
Mm.
I don't know when it got to a point where it felt like my life was already arranged for me and I just had to fit in.
Mm.
Because at some point, as a woman, you get told that, listen, you're leaving university, you're 21, you have 19 years, babes. What am I saying? They said menopause is 35 now. You have 14 years, babes. You have 14 years. If you ever want to feel the joy of childbirth, this joy of childbirth that's constantly being beat into our heads, that's taking the place of our passions and our dreams that God has placed in there. Do you know how many women die with their purpose because they thought that their purpose was nurturing something something became their marriages?
You're nurturing a deadbeat man that's cheating on you,
bringing you HPV and STDs and children who can't even respect you or honor you.
Not
and
every woman.
Destroy your name outside there. You're unhappy. I'm you're 50. Oh my God. Unhappy. I'm unhinged.
No, okay. So
I'm unhinged.
Pearl unhinged, no, guys.
Pearl has gone on a rant. And in her rant, I think you said some things that you feel but you don't think.
What?
Is that accurate?
Well, I feel and think everything I just said.
Are you sure about
that? Yeah, I've lived it.
What? No, you want to have kids.
I've lived it.
You want to have kids.
No, you don't want to have kids.
But Paul, there's so many ways to do that. No. But Paul, there's so many ways for me to have kids. There's so many ways. And they're just as fulfilling. Do you know how bad women who are infertile feel? Because they've been told that they will never enjoy the joy of childbirth because they don't have the ability to give birth to children. So, do you know how depressing their lives are? There's other ways to get that joy.
His religious baffles me.
Seriously. No.
How she's religious baffles me.
I'm not religious. I just love God. I'm not religious.
I don't know.
I like how we've gone away.
I'm not religious.
We've gone away from prenups now. We're not talking about prenups anymore.
But here's very quickly, right? Here's an interesting thing. Most people who have some form of decency don't tell women that. You have to have a child. Most people have some form of decency. It's not a conversation you have, especially with somebody who can't have children. Usually you treat them more tender or more kind.
With empathy.
Or you don't even talk about it because you're not sure how they'll handle it. So you're not sure if you're ready for that conversation. The idea of women and childbirth, right, is something unique. It's a function only women possess. So that's always going to be a part of being a woman. A wink, wink. At definitions of women.
For now.
Yeah, there's a dangerous technology they're trying. Not even that. There's a technology they're trying to create that will allow you to have a child without a woman.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're making an artificial womb.
Krypton. They are
Krypton. That they put the fertilized egg into, and that
which
womb
is
yeah,
the
gross.
Scariest.
You don't need
thing
women to give birth. You just grow them in the chamber.
Are you scared of cloning?
Not because of cloning. Oh. Right. There's a certain level of sanctity you get because there's certain things only a woman can do, and there's certain things only a man can do. Right. So because of that creative design, we actually need to interact with each other.
Mm-hmm.
If you take away the purpose of a woman, right? And not the purpose, but,
one of the major purposes. Things that only a woman can do.
The purpose.
I'm sorry,
It's not. What would you have put your thing into without a woman? For pleasure.
What would I put my what?
What would you have put it into?
If what?
Well, the rubber dolls.
If what?
Even
if
those
what?
Are modeled what after women.
If what? No, if what? What would I put it into?
If
what?
There were no women.
If there were no women.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't have had it in the first place. Then whoever created us wouldn't have given us that. Would have been peeing in a different way.
No.
Yeah, that's just
my question to you.
That's how science
that's
works.
That's not my question to you.
Your question is going to a different realm. Different realm. But all to say that, that purpose that exists, you don't need anybody to tell you about it. It's not an external conversation that's had with somebody else. It usually happens on the inside and then it is voiced.
I think the only thing I'm fighting against is one idea of an ideal life that every single woman in the world is chasing because they've been told that that is the ideal life. So many women don't even look within. Look at a man, for instance. You have a saint like Paul who has looked within and said, you know what, marriage is not for me. Marriage is not for me. So, but I have asked you guys to get married. You understand? If it doesn't form a distraction for you, he had the self-realization to realize that, listen, if I get married, this is going to take the front burner and my purpose, my passion will take the second. And many women don't have that self-awareness because they've already been told there is one purpose. There is one way and that's the only way. And so many women who don't even want to get married, which is what I'm even coming down to in the first place.
I would go into it
regardless because it's just, what are you doing if you're unmarried?
Yeah. I would advise against using Paul as an argument for singleness.
Why, Paul? Why are you laughing?
Because his name is Paul. Well, no. The reason I advise against using Paul as an argument for singleness is because of Paul's specific circumstances. Paul attained salvation in one of the most unique ways.
Yeah.
Nobody else got it like
Paul. You're the apostle after death.
Nobody else got it like Paul did.
Mm-hmm.
Many people didn't even have that kind of interaction because a lot of people at that point in time got to interact with Jesus as a man. But very few people got to interact at that point in time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
His story is so unique.
But it's not just him, is it? Other missionaries didn't as well.
If you want to take his story and apply it to your life, you need a certain standard of uniqueness.
Okay, but no, that's not true. Because take the story away. Listen to his reason for not choosing to get married, right? Let's focus on his reason, not necessarily the circumstances around his life. Because he wasn't like, oh, I met Jesus in a way that nobody had and that's why I'm not getting married.
It wasn't all right.
No, but I'm just saying his reason was because he properly analyzed it, which a lot of us don't get to do. He properly analyzed it and he was like, what's my life going to look like if I'm married and what's it going to look like if I'm not? And he was like, this is what I want.
You're reading that into the text. The text doesn't say that.
It does, because he said that he
Can I ask him about Paul? Does anybody know if he had kids? No, maybe he had.
No, he did not have kids.
No, hey.
He did not
have kids. Did the Bible specifically say?
Did the Bible say he had kids?
Did not have kids.
The Bible didn't even say he had
everybody
sex.
Knows that. Saul have kids. And Saul have kids.
It doesn't matter if Saul had kids because he was a new creature. All things had passed away. All things had become new.
I was telling you, in traditional Nigerian marriages, they'd wash the feet of the couples, right? Which means you're washing away your past. So not everything you happen in your past.
Yeah. Body count reset.
All the body count, your abortions, all of that. It doesn't matter because your life starts from...
What are the kids?
The kids, everything is washed away. wash the kids away. And you start your life going forward. You know, they say for lions, right? When a new alpha comes in, mm-hmm. right, and defeats the current alpha, right? The first thing the lion does is it kills the cubs.
The cubs of the former alpha. Alpha, he's clearing, he's making room. And
they will start their
journey. Leveling the field.
You understand? And the cycle continues. But guys, just quickly, can we summarize the points just around the table?
We dived into a lot of
things.
Yeah, prenup is such a big conversation.
But I'm happy. I think the takeaway is prenup means you have trust issues. That is my takeaway from this podcast. If you bring up the prenup, it means you have trust issues with your partner. And you should probably reconsider getting married,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a key takeaway. Is that agreed around the table?
I mean,
is that
agreed around the table? It's one of the things we kind of came to.
Yeah.
And so there are so many
they're nitpicks, but the overarching, you know,
personally, for me, I don't believe that's what it is. Like I said, look, for men, I don't think men would have issues signing the prenup if your wife is rich. We'll still sign it regardless. Hold on, I'm just saying. If a woman, if I'm married a very rich man, she tells me
sign a prenup.
I don't have an issue. It doesn't matter because
double standard.
We aim to get our own. We aim
double
to be successful
standard.
By ourselves.
No, hold on.
No, I'm not lying. That's the fact. No, that's the fact. You'd sign it. You understand?
From when I was a child.
Oh my God.
Men have been backhoed.
Oh my God.
I swear men have the biggest finesse. Because they'll still say, my husband is the one that bought this bag for me. You know you're lying. You know your husband cannot afford to even buy you the bag.
Bottom line is, a man would not openly say the reason I refuse to marry a girl is because I didn't want to sign the prenup. Just the way a girl would openly
just because
tell,
he knows that other guys are going to come for him.
Whatever way we get there, it still changed. We still arrive at the same fact I'm trying to make, that a man would sign a prenup. He would not say he's not signing it. Do you understand? Like, so
we will sign it.
You get. So I feel this prenup issue, it's women. And personally, I feel they should sign it because, like you said, you made a key point and I tapped into it. You said, look, men choose who they want to marry. Why women? If you're settling, then go ahead and sign the prenup.
The party,
if you know you don't have options. Because if you do have options, you would refuse and leave and go marry someone else. But why are you crying about it? If you don't have a choice, then
so
freaking
it's
sign
an arrangement.
It.
Like, yeah. So obviously, it's legalistic in nature at that point.
Sign it.
So might as well.
Yeah, you know, I did hear that every woman who's married, or is 90%, you know, believe that they settled.
Yeah.
like you went my first option.
You went my first option.
My first option was Jay-Z or Chris Brown.
I'm settling for you.
Definitely. And you need that's which is why every time you wake up in the morning, you need to bring me breakfast in bed. And just so you know
that's
what
why
you
I
have.
Just that's why I just you think I have mood swings, but I just look at you and I think, what the hell did I do? This is what I'm stuck with. I've got to deal with this for the rest of my life.
Guys, that's closing it. Thoughts. Saint, you wanna any closing thoughts?
I've heard so many problems.
That's why I love talking about. I know it feels like we talk about marriage, you know, a lot on this podcast, but because again, this is one of the most important decisions you're gonna
I'm
make in your life.
You.
I feel like I mean, you know, why not? Why not give?
Please, more marriage conversations.
As
more
in,
marriage
because
conversations.
Again, like, as you said, there's not enough education
content
around
yeah.
this. No, but people actually don't understand what's happening. It's like, oh, everybody's doing this.
Yeah.
By this time, I should be.
I'm of age. What
I'm
does
of
that
age.
Mean?
I'm of age.
What does that mean?
You
if you're
have,
tall enough, you can get on the right.
You don't have a job. You don't have any lands.
I love what the future generation is going to look like. When I look at this generation, I'm like, I wish I could live much longer than I should and just see what it would be like in the future. I just laugh. And like, oh, I saw this coming, though. I said, serious girls? Oh, my God.
All right, guys. Man, it's been a lovely episode. Saint, you want to sign us out?
I haven't even said my thoughts.
bro, honestly, there's so much. There's so much happening right now.
I'm still reeling from the problems. Okay. In a short line, the design of marriage wasn't left for us to manipulate. If that makes sense, right? It's supposed to be a total commitment. You're supposed to give everything. Absolutely everything. Nothing held back. And it's something I tell people. If you're going in holding something back, you're setting yourself up for failure. There's certain, an example of this is, there's we can call them microtransactions that happen on a day-to-day basis where you give away something to someone who isn't your spouse that's supposed to be for your spouse. You don't realize how that affects your relationship.
When it compounds, huh?
It compounds. There's an interesting thing I do where with my ex-fiance, I would wait to tell her a story first before anybody else.
Interesting.
Because you can't take away that excitement you have the very first time you tell a story.
Interesting.
And that applies to
this
so
this is why
many
they are
things.
Chasing you on the podcast. Everybody wants
see,
they go to this man. They go to an Igbo king.
Don't worry. See, send me DM. I'll
this is why they're chasing you.
Send me DM. I'll hook you up, people. Don't worry.
Yes, make sure that person. The standard I like to use is biblical standard. So if you ever read Ephesians 5, you ever read Titus 2, parts of 1 Timothy, and so on and so forth. Have the standard you're setting, whether you're a man or a woman, have a standard. Look for that in the other person. Character is very, very important. so that regardless of what happens, you can always go back to that standard, both of you, which is what a prenup is trying to replace, right? You can always go back to that standard and work from there.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I mean, that's so well said. One thing I've always heard is just, honestly, to simplify everything, just make sure your partner is genuinely kind. Genuinely. Like, a kind person wouldn't hire a company to move their house off of your land, for example, like Shakira did after a divorce. If you were genuinely kind, if you genuinely love this person, why are you free the house? What the hell is a, freaking house? Like, that spite can't be. If you're a genuinely kind person, I'm not going to be spiteful even if we have a falling out and we leave. I'm not going to take your kids away from you even if we have a falling out, you know, and all of that. So really, just marry a kind person. I that's simple enough, right? I think that's the best advice I can just give. Marry a genuinely kind person.
Don't settle, women. Please don't settle. Just your man is out there. You know,
but you just explained.
What if your man is married? What if your man is married already?
Then he's gonna get divorced. Everything will align for you. I promise.
By your hand?
Are you No! Don't cause the divorce. Hold on, let me take that back. Reroll. What I mean to say is, you know, there's not one person designed for you. God did not make us in twos. Like, I read something like, God made us in twos. You have your soulmates. You have to go through the world to find them. God did not really make us in twos. And marriage was never built for someone who ticks all of your boxes, because then where is the place for compromise and sacrifice, you know? So, but I'm just saying, like, don't marry just because. Don't try to just take it off your list. Marry because you've honestly found a man that you want to devote your life to. Marry because you're going to love that man as unto God, right? Let that be the standard for the man that you choose to marry. Let that always be your guide. Because
and make sure the man is not on Instagram. He's inside your neighborhood. Don't look at Instagram. That's the problem with social media. I don't understand. Because I know that I've seen the woman.
It's
I want
the
to marry.
Aesthetic.
Have you not seen
the aesthetic?
The woman you want to marry, you've seen her on Instagram,
like,
right?
Like 10 of them.
I've seen like
7. He's put like prayer quotes that he created himself. He's put like prayer quotes by James Clerk.
Oh yeah, I think one of the recommendations to just cancel social media from your life. It will help.
People find spouses on social media.
Yes, I will fly you out.
Social media is one of the biggest traps we've ever created for ourselves.
Yeah,
one of the biggest traps. Do you know? Interestingly, right? If you think about it conceptually, remember Tower of Babel?
Yeah,
you had all human beings able to talk to each other, no matter what the language was, and they chose a single goal and were able to accomplish it. Social media kind of negates that conceptually. Because now we have Google Translate, so language is not a barrier anymore. There's no barrier of distance because of the internet, so we can all talk. The only thing we haven't sorted out is a single goal or something we put our mind to.
Ah.
It's the only thing we haven't sorted out. So it's actually one of the biggest traps for us.
I think we have sorted out on a single goal.
Double-edged sword.
Which is?
Double-edged sword.
Defabricating and destroying humanity. And it's working.
Fake news.
It's working.
All right, guys. This has been a long one, actually.
Tell your babe that you want to propose to that you are going to want her to sign a prenup. And babe, if the guy has money, know that the prenup issue will come up. Stop dodging it. Like, the truth is, everybody's just hiding. If you know you are married, you are dating a billionaire, you know that thing might come up in the future.
This is why I encourage women to date broke guys. Date broke guys. Guys. That's the hack of life. You have to work with him. You have to build with him. Stress with the man. Help him so gary, roasted fish.
They will fight you.
And then when he gets rich, he will cheat on you and leave you. But you are a woman, so you just.
No. When he gets rich, you won't have signed the prenup now, so you get half if he fucks up.
That's an interesting thing.
Yes.
So despite the character in which it was said, right? If you actually, which is why the before getting married young was what was advised. Because if you work with a man to success.
Yeah, the success is for both of you.
You are really entitled to the money.
Nobody can fight with you.
Yeah, when you say you won't have.
Nobody can say anything. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But when you come in after he's already been successful.
Exactly.
Right?
Hakimi?
Now people
that's when they start talking about
it. I don't think Hakimi's gist is real. I think it's case that he has or something.
On the flip side for guys, there's a certain security you like in the woman you have. If you build up that woman from the beginning, even if you didn't have it day one of that relationship, by year 10, when this woman has been by you, woken you up and not poisoned you the entire time, you have no choice. Somebody will come to you and say, this woman did this. You say, nah. not her.
Melinda Gates, maybe.
Yeah.
Melinda Gates. Guys, this has been a lovely episode. Wow, this is just so much. It's like I get smarter after each episode of this podcast. And so I literally feel like
You're welcome. IQ, I know that's me. Because yes. I'm the only woman on the table. So intellectually, I'm the only one that can help you.
If we expand this conversation.
We need to get another woman. Yeah.
Pearl is woman enough, trust me. Multiple women in one room. But if we expand this conversation to, you know, like other sectors, like let's say the Muslim people that have the ability to marry four wives, you know, I'm sure we'll have had very much different perspectives on this whole entire thing. I don't even think prenups are even a thing. It's like, if you have four wives, who are you saying? Which kind of prenup are you saying?
No, you can have a tripartite agreement.
What are we talking about? Anyways, guys, we'll leave that open. Maybe we'll talk about it, you know, the next episode. Signing out, man. See you guys on the next one.
Jeez. Bye guys.
Bye guys. Actually, no, Pearl, do the sign out.
All right. Thank you for you guys, please. If you stayed with us to the end of this podcast, you're a real G. I just need to tell you, you're ride or die. You're a loyal listener. Woo! You deserve all the good things that life has to give. Yeah, but thank you for listening to us. Just go back and forth and talk about everything from abortion to marriage to kids. I don't even know how we do these things, but it's always so nice, you know, being able to have these conversations. And hopefully, you know, we see you in the next one. Mm-hmm. Peace out.
Peace out. Love you guys. Remember to share and subscribe. Peace.